Exodus 3 and 1, and then we're going to go over the New Testament, Hebrews 12 and 28. Amen? And again, familiar passages. But let's do ourselves a favor this morning and read slowly. Because if you'll read slowly, you'll get the sermon right off the bat. You'll get it right off the bat. All right? Now, here we go. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, which is the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Just reading slow. It's not Hebrew or Greek. This is just slow, purposeful reading. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great and miraculous sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Amen? Let's add to the witness the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12:28 and 29, we rehearsed this a little bit on last Sunday. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen? While you're standing, just as a preamble, this morning we're going to talk about the fire of God. Last Sunday, we started the new year out talking about the fear of God. And this Sunday, we're going to add to that theme by talking about the fire of God. God bless you. With every head bowed, let's have an opening prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this another day that you have brought us and have kept us. We thank you for the new mercies that we see and benefit from every day. Thank you that you have allowed us to assemble ourselves again in this place of worship, and this place of prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Thank you that you've blessed us with safe travels. You've covered our cars and our homes while we slept and our cars while we traveled. And the angel of the Lord himself protected us and brought us to this place safely. And so now that we are here, we ask that you would gather us together again as you did in the days of old. Bring the saints of God. Cause us to draw to the fire of God, that we might feel your warmth and the embers of your grace, and that we might be comforted and yet afraid at the same time. God, do something for us that only God himself can do. This we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the church. God's holiness is the reason for his being a consuming fire. And what the consuming fire of God does, it burns up anything that is unholy. The holiness of God is that part of his nature that most separates him from sinful man. The godless, Isaiah writes, tremble before him. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with an everlasting burning? Isaiah then answers his own question by saying that only the righteous can withstand the consuming fire of God's wrath against sin, because sin is an offense to God's holiness. But Isaiah also assures us that no amount of our own righteousness is sufficient, because in 64 and 6, he reminds us that our best righteousness is but as filthy rags. Fortunately for us, God has provided the righteousness we need by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the sins of all who would ever believe in his name. In and by that one act, Christ mitigates God's wrath, exchanging his perfect righteousness for our very own sin. The book of Corinthians reminds us that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So to the unbeliever, God is an all-consuming fire. And oftentimes throughout Scripture, God is pictured as a fire in that it represents the judgment of God, the wrath of God, that he comes to destroy and to quench any and everything that is not like him. And if that is a true aspect of God's nature, that in fact he is a consuming fire, and if in fact sin is an offense to God, then I understand why God is set on edge to destroy all humankind. Because the Bible reminds us vividly that we have all been created in sin, and that we have all come short of the glory of God. But there is another aspect of God which represents his mercy. And so while to the unbeliever God is a consuming fire, to the believer he's still fire, but he's a different kind of fire. He's still fire, but he's a different kind of fire. And it is in the book of Malachi. Let's turn there and so that we can read it and all be together. In the book of Malachi, he speaks to us of a different kind of fire. Malachi, the third chapter in verse 2, says, "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he shall appear? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and as a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old and as in the former years." The Messiah will be like a refiner's fire is an allusion to the process of purifying metal. A refiner uses fire to heat metal to what is called a molten state, to liquefy it. And then he skims off the dross that floats to the top of the molten lava, of the molten metal. So as you purify metal and you heat it and it becomes liquefied, all of the impurities in the metal float to the top. And as that separation begins to happen, the dross or the impurities coming to the top, the pure metal being heavier sinks to the bottom. The refiner then comes and skims off the dross. Because what? It's not needed. And as he skims off the dross, what is left is pure gold and pure silver. Are you with me in that? The refiner's fire is, of course, maintained at extremely high temperatures. And at such a high degree, the heat, it represents the prophet's picture of the testing of the people of God will face in the day of judgment. In Malachi, he's picturing the coming day of the Messiah, that one day the Messiah will come not to offer his life for sin, but he will come to judge the people for their sins. And this is the second coming of Christ. Do you follow me on this? And so he pictures it as this refiner's fire, this purifying come. But for, again, now for the unbeliever, when the fire comes, it's a consuming fire. It's coming to destroy. It is the wrath of God being poured out. But for the believer, it comes as a refiner's fire. When the refiner heats that fire to a high degree such that the separation in the liquefied metal occurs, he's not trying to destroy the metal. He's trying to purify the metal. So he's not out there trying, I'm going to burn up all this stuff. No, he says, I want to purify it. I want to get the dross, the imperfections out of it so that what I am left with is pure gold or pure silver. Do you follow what I'm saying? So this is the image that the prophet gives so that we would understand the fire of God in the life of the believer. So that we, unlike the believer, do not fear God because of the wrath of God, but we fear God out of respect and adoration for the mercies of God, and that we are not consumed all the day long. Do you follow what I'm saying? For the believer, the Holy Spirit works in us now to purify or to burn up sin in our lives to prepare us for the coming judgment of Jesus Christ. Even as it did in Moses, who was a known murderer. We forget that about Moses. Because he's got the tablets of stones, because he parted the Red Sea. We put Moses on a high hill, and rightly so. But he wasn't always there. Unlike what the people of Israel thought, he's not God. Do you follow what I'm saying? But he had some things in his own life, some impurities, some imperfections in his own character, that before God could use him the way he wanted to use him, he had to take Moses through a purifying process. Do you follow what I'm saying? There were some things in his character and in his nature that was against God, but God didn't destroy Moses. He purified him. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yet God calls on him to a personal encounter and speaks to him, Moses, out of a burning bush. That image of the burning bush pictures the transformation that takes place not only in the life of Moses, but also in the life of the believer. God says of Moses, other prophet he has spoken to through dreams and visions, but of Moses, God esteems him so highly and says, I speak to Moses face to face. And only reason he is able to speak to Moses face to face is before he got there, he purified Moses. He cleansed him of all unrighteousness and ungodliness such that God could speak to him face to face. Because had he not been purified, God would have been to him a consuming fire. But because Moses was willing to acknowledge his sin, acknowledge his shortcomings, God purifies him and begins to place on him his own righteousness. When Moses comes down off the holy mount of God, the people of Israel said his face shone so brightly, they had to put a cloth over his face because the people could not stand to look at him. He radiated with the brightness of God's very countenance. He stood in the fire so long that the embers of the fire of God was all over Moses. And the people would allow him to speak but refused to look at him. because he radiated with the countenance of God. The fire of God begins to dwell in him and begins to purify and burn away sin in his life, not overnight, but over time. Like the burning bush, the fire in the presence of God does not consume Moses, but purifies him and makes him holy, just like the ground on which he worships. Now let's go back. Now let's read it again. Now that we've got the fire of God, now let's read it again and see if we'll get it the second time around. Exodus 3 and 2, and the angel of the Lord, who as you begin to read the story, you begin to realize is the Lord himself. But he says, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire. And he appeared as a flame from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Are you with me? Anytime something can burn with fire and not be consumed, it must be of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? And then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, this miracle. How in the world could this happen, that the bush be on fire but not be burned? He said, I want to see. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he replied and said, here am I. And then he said, do not draw near to this place. Not yet. Not yet. I haven't purified you yet. So you better keep your distance. You follow what I'm saying? Because if you don't have the fear of God, you might run up on God and in your sin I consume you. Do you follow what I'm saying? So he had to first have the fear of God to have enough sense to say, I got to stop right here. I'm not big and bad enough to go any further with God yet. You follow what I'm saying? So he said, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Don't come any closer. I have to do in you what I've done in the ground. The bush was on fire, but wasn't burning. Because now God had come in it, not to consume it, but to purify it. And in so purifying it, he not only made the bush holy, but he made the ground holy. So much so that Moses was prevented from approaching God any further. Why? Because the ground, the same ground that he had been on countless times before with the sheep of his father-in-law, now has been transformed into something holy. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is there. And the ground has been changed. The ground is now different because God is in it. Might I remind you, my fellow members here, that we too came from the ground. I wish I had a real church. I'm half sick. That's why I miss Friday night. So I can't work it. You either got to get it or you can't. We came out of the ground. Do you follow what I'm saying? And because of sin, we fell back into the ground. But thanks be to our God that he sends his fire down from heaven, not to destroy our ground, but as a refiner's fire, the fire comes to purify the ground. So that which is unholy, after it encounters the fire of God, can be made holy, not by its own righteousness, but by the righteousness of God. He took him who knew no sin, and he gave us his righteousness. How did he do it? By the fire of God. And now the ground is holy. And in like fashion, when we receive Christ into our lives, the writer tells us, he says, did you not know that your bodies is the temple for the living God? That the Spirit of the Lord God now dwells within us. And if the presence of the Lord is now dwelling inside of you, you should start looking like the bush on Mount Horeb. Something on the inside of you should be catch on fire. And some things ought to start burning up by the fire of God. Things that you used to do should begin to be consumed by the fire. God, I wish I had a real church. The fire of God, as he burns, consumes, and incinerates everything that is not like him. It may hurt us, but it's for our good, because in time we are transformed from being unholy to becoming holy like our God. And he burns up everything that is not like him. Touch somebody and say, burn it up. He wants to burn it up because he wants you to become holy ground. He wants you to become holy ground so that he can have fellowship with you. Because as long as the ground is unholy, God can't inhabit it. If it's unholy, all God can do is consume it. But if you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to do what the presence of the Lord does, which is act as a refiner's fire and begin the purification process. For us on this side of his second coming, we will live with impurities all of our life. We will. We'll either die with them or be changed when he appears. Paul said it like this. He said, even when I desire to do good, evil is always present. Evil is always present because evil is in my members. My body knows more about sin than it does holiness. Do you follow what I'm saying? So all of our lifetime, we will be going through a refining process. And the longer we walk with Christ, we should begin to become more and more like him. Holy like him. Not quite perfect like him. That only happens when he comes again and we are finally changed and made like him. Do you follow what I'm saying? But this is the responsibility of the believer, is to submit our lives to the fire of God, so that the refining process can continue day after day after day after day. Moses lived 120 years. His life can be looked at in 40s. 40 years in Pharaoh's house, 40 years in the house of his father-in-law, 40 years leading the people of Israel. And it wasn't until the end of his life, the very end, no funeral, God buries Moses himself. No preacher, no eulogy, no repast, no songs. God buries Moses out of the respect he had for Moses. But he didn't get that in the first 40. He didn't get it in the second 40. It was a process that took a lifetime to achieve. But it happened in the life of Moses because he submitted himself to the refiner's fire. To the refiner's fire. And that's what we have to do. As we look to go into this new year, as we open ourselves up to have the fear of God, the next step is now to receive the fire of God. Do you follow what I'm saying? And allow our lives to be transformed by the presence of the living God inside of us. Do you follow what I'm saying? So our motto going into the new year is that anything that is not like God, let him burn it up. Let him burn it up. He's not trying to consume us. He's trying to refine us. He's trying to get out all the impurities in our lives so that we can become something more like his son till we finally get to a place where God can use us. Where God can say, yeah, yeah, they're close enough to me now where we can have fellowship. One to one. Holiness to holiness. God to God. Do you follow what I'm saying? So there it is. That's the fire of God. And it can only come into your life after you have the fear of God. The Bible is filled, especially the Old Testament, is filled with people who had no fear of God. And as a result, they were consumed by the fire of God. But as believers, we want to have the proper fear, reverence, and awe. We want to have the proper submission in our hearts to let the fire of God work in us to cause us to look more and more like him. Amen. You got the word of the Lord? Amen. Shall we stand?